we started a series, and I'm finishing it today, called The Believer's Ministry. And so over the last several weeks, we found out that every believer is called to the ministry. I won't recap that, but all our messages are online. But every believer is called to the ministry. And why that's vitally important, because that's that your part. You're not, you hear me say it all the time, but you're not just the product of your parents' passion, but you are the product of God's purpose for your life. God's mission is that the world knows who he is, and you as a believer are called to play a part in that with your lifestyle, with your behavior, and with your testimony, with your word, and with your deeds. Amen? And so we've covered that over the last several weeks, and then last week we talked about, went in a little bit deeper understanding. By the way, you're called to the ministry, and these three areas of ministry every believer is called to. Number one, ministry to the Lord. Number two, ministry to the body. Number three, ministry to the lost, the ministry of reconciliation. And I expanded on that a bit last week and broke down some of the keys to that and gave a testimony. It's just awesome for you to understand how important this is for you to be a living witness, to be a light of the world. We talked about that. You can go online and get all that. But the other part of this ministry of reconciliation is a part of the ministry that Jesus walked in regularly, and it is receiving healing, or he administered healing, but it is a part of every believer's life as well. We all need to understand how to receive healing and to minister healing. It is a part of every believer's life, and let's take a look at it and understand how that works today. Amen? Healing is a part of the believer's ministry. Turn over in your Bible to Mark chapter 16, and let's begin at verse 15. Again, the Great Commission, you see it in all four of the Gospels, a little bit different in all four Gospels. And this one, Mark brings out something really interesting. Watch what he says. He says, and of course, this is, you know, after Jesus was born, age 30, went into his earthly ministry, ministered in his earthly ministry for 3.5 years. Then he went to the cross, died for all of our sin, all of our sickness, judged and punished for that, buried our sin, rose from the dead 3 days later, walked the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, preaching the gospel and doing miracles. And on the day he was leaving, being to ascend up to the right hand of the Father, he said this, and he said to them, go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature, right? And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow the fivefold ministry. Right. These signs will follow who? Those who believe. These signs should follow every believer. Who really believes? Now, this is indicative that believing is more than just a head knowledge. The Bible says that devils believe and tremble. Believing, the word here, pistis in the Greek, it means to have total trust in, to rely on. It's relying on Jesus for salvation. It's relying on him for your sustenance. It's relying on him for your protection. It's relying on him in every aspect of life. And of course, we grow into all those aspects, but it is a leaning on and a trusting in Jesus. And Jesus said, who does that, who believes in me like that, in my name, they will what? Cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. We know that has to do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They will take up serpents. Of course, every time I come there, I got to say that he's not talking about just tempt going grabbing snakes. Anybody ever walked up on a snake? Anybody? Let me see. We all from the country, right? Yes. Y'all have all walked up on snakes. What'd you do? Hopefully you didn't go grab it. Come on, somebody. Did y'all run, go the other way? Like, right? So it's not talking about grabbing snakes like y'all have seen in some of them documentaries. Those people are just deceived. Let me say it like that. That's a nicer way to say it. Y'all know what I want to say. But I'm going to say they're deceived, right? They've read this and have been deceived. Don't play with snakes. Come on, somebody. They'll take up serpents. And what is that talking about? Like when Paul got bitten by a snake that time. You got it, and he shook it off. He didn't die. And if they drink any deadly thing, gave you an example of that. Sinead tried to kill me a couple weeks ago. It will by no means hurt them. Look at this last one. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Who will lay hands on the sick? The believer. Those who believe will lay hands on the sick. Amen? And so that is a part of Jesus' ministry. We see it all throughout the Gospels, over and over and over. So let me make a couple statements here. I think the most important aspect of healing is knowing that God wants every human being healed. That's the starting place. You've got to, and again, remember what we talked about, putting these things in place early on, systems in place to ensure that you understand and believe this. Like I said, during times of peace, times of well-being are the time to build up these truths in your heart. You get what I'm saying? You don't want to wait until you're sick to say, you know what, I think I heard Pastor Stokes say something about healing. Maybe too late. It's not too late for God, but it may be too late for you to implement these things. It's hard to believe those things unless you get what I'm saying? You can teach a child something and they'll believe it because they've been taught it from a child. You can teach them a non-truth and they'll believe that non-truth because they've been taught it from a child. You get it? And therein lies the danger of knowing something wrong. John said this in John 3 John. He said, "Beloved, I pray above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." He says something to the effect of, "I'm glad to see that you're walking in the truth." It makes him glad to see you're walking in the truth. And it's the walking in the truth that's going to cause you to prosper and be in health. It's walking in it. It's not just trying to get something from God. It's walking in that truth. Walking in the truth, knowing that you're supposed to be prosperous, will cause you to have a different attitude in times of adversity. Knowing that God wants you healed and has made the provision for it will give you a different attitude when you face adversity. You follow what I'm saying right there? Other than thinking, well, you know, I wonder if God is doing this, if he's responsible, if he wants me to have this. I'm not sure if he wants me healed. He healed some, but he doesn't heal the others. You will be one of the others that he doesn't if you take that position. You've got to know from the word of God that God wants every human being healed. Now, so I wrote some statements in, that I just want to make again. Can y'all put my first statement up there? I know God's will is to heal everyone, every time, everywhere, but I also know God's will is not always manifested. Do y'all know that? It's definitely God's will. We know it's God's will for all to be saved and come to repentance. But we also know that God's will is not always manifested. Not everybody's going to be saved. Y'all know that. And that's the verse that I put there, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is, now watch, as it relates to healing, as it relates to joy, as it relates to peace, as it relates to any promise of God. Look what the Bible says. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. In other words, if we don't receive one of his promises, it's not God holding out on us. Now, we've got to know that. That helps us in our search and our quest and our drive for truth. Have I ever told you? I know I have. I've told you the story years ago. I've never taken guitar lessons, but I was able to play at the Ohio State University Jazz Ensemble because of something that one friend told me. A guy told me years ago as a kid. I was a kid. I wasn't even a teenager yet, but he played bass and he was really good. This is back in the 70s. Like 1971, 70, something like that. And he was really good. This is back in the days of Parliament Funkadelic and the Brothers Johnson. Come on, somebody. The Jackson 5. That's right. It was still the Jackson 5. And Confunction, all these kind of groups. And I started playing guitar. My parents must have bought me a guitar. I think I was 10 or so. And we always played piano. So I knew music and could read music and all that stuff. But they bought me, I wanted a guitar. Bought me a guitar, but I never took any guitar lessons. But I would just listen to the records. Come on. All my records and just keep playing it back and back. And a dude came over to my house. His name is Dwayne Saunders. Lives in Columbus, Ohio right now. And he was really good. I mean, really, really, really good. I mean, he could do everything on that bass. And he came over. He said, "Lee," he said, "let me tell you a key with my guitar." Because I'd be downstairs trying to listen and trying to play real hard. And it's like, he said, "Listen, everything they're doing on their guitar is on your guitar. You just have to find it." And something that he said then clicked. It was just like, okay. What it did was give me a tenacity not to quit till I figured it out. You get what I'm saying? So I started buying all kinds of music. My parents thought I was on drugs because I was listening to Jimi Hendrix. I was listening to all this. I was listening to this. Everybody who could play. Everybody I'd heard who could play, I was listening to it. West Montgomery, you name it, every style of music I was listening to and studying and playing and playing. I already knew how to read music. I had to figure it out on guitar, and I had all these books, and there was no YouTube back in 1970. Come on, somebody. Like now, it's amazing how easy kids have it now. It is amazing. Like now, if I want to learn a George Benson riff, just on my phone, George Benson jazz riffs. Oh my God, why did they not have this in the 60s or the 70s? I would be a freaking genius right now. But you know what I'm saying? So I had to just figure it out, playing it over and over and over. But I look at life that way, and I look at the promises of God that way. If God says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What God is saying here, what Peter's writing is, God has made all these promises. He's not slack concerning any of his promises. What that says to me is, I just got to figure out what they are and how to work it out. How to walk out, the Bible says, work out your own salvation. Figure it out, put in the time. But I have found, are y'all ready? This is a strong statement. I have found that many believers are so immature. That's hard. That's a strong saying. Are y'all with me? They quit so easy. Great starters, horrible finishers. Little frustration. Come on, y'all sit with your kids. I can't do it. You got to make your kids do something, typically when they're small, because it's so easy for them to quit. You got to make them do it even when they don't want to. And then they'll develop a habit and it becomes easy for them, right? Just like riding a bike. Come on, anybody crash your bike? It brings back so many stories. You remember when Brooke crashed? Oh, it wasn't funny then, but it's funny now. But all the stuff, just like with your kids. And it's the same thing with healing. So this statement that I said, we know it's God's will all the time for healing, but we don't always see it. Now, I got to say this, that there's a lot of mysteries in the scriptures that we don't understand. So we don't understand it all. You know, we look through a glass dimly, the Bible says. Right now, we prophesy in part, we know in part. So we don't know everything, but I do know that the longer you stay in the Word, the longer you stay consistent, you build on what you already know. Like, you can't throw a kid, a five-year-old, into college without having gone through elementary and learned basic addition, minus, subtraction, multiplication. You can't throw them into calculus and business concepts and stuff without getting their mind to understand the basic fundamentals. And such is the case with Christianity. And Jesus shared that with the parable of the sower and the seed. He said, no, you got to keep hearing this word, because what you're doing is you're building on revelations and building. And the Bible, the Bible actually says in Hebrews chapter 5 that the laying on of hands, that they're elementary principles. He said, but you need to go back and learn those, because when you should be teaching someone, you still need to be taught the elementary principles of Christ, because we hadn't learned the rudiments to build on the other things, to learn to discern different things rightly. Are y'all following what I'm saying? And that's a hard saying, but so what we're doing right now is vitally important. You say, well, Pastor, I know about healing, and I don't even need any healing, but one day you will. You may, or know someone that does, because we live in a fallen earth. Amen? All right. Go on to the next one. What's my next statement here? There are many mysteries to sickness as well as to sin. Sickness and sin are both a part of the human condition. We war and fight against both. But we know this, God has made provisions for both on the cross. And why I say that, again, is because we don't understand everything. Some of it, there's mysteries. There's some things I read in the Bible today about healing. Jesus said in John chapter 5 with the guy who was at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years, and there's all kinds of typology in there. That's how many years the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, but he didn't receive his healing, and Jesus just came to him and said, pick up your bed. He said, do you want to be healed? And he started coming up with some excuses. Come on, somebody. Well, every time I get ready to jump in, somebody jumps in front of me, and Jesus said, pick up your bed and go home. And I probably had a little stank on it when he said it. You know, I'm just saying, pick it up and go home. And he did. He picked it up, and y'all remember the story? Remember the story? He went straight to the church. He went to the temple, right? And everybody's asking him. Everybody said, hold on, what you doing? What you doing carrying your bed? Because it's a Sabbath day. He said, I don't know. The dude who told me, pick up my bed and walk. So I picked up my bed and walk. It's Sabbath. I'm here at the church. He said, but it's the Sabbath. You ain't supposed to be picking up. You ain't supposed to be picking up nothing and walking. He said, I don't know about that. All I know is the dude said, they said, who said that to you? He said, I don't even know who the dude was. I don't know, but I'm able to walk. We know. We heard you. Jesus comes into the temple. It's all in John chapter 5. Jesus comes into the temple and says, hey, you're healed. He says, yeah. He says, and Jesus says this statement that still rings in my heart. He says, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come on you. Boom. Oh, snap. Why did the living word say that? I don't believe that always sin, you know, I don't think people who are sick are always bound up in sin. I don't think that's the case. Please hear me saying that. But I do believe habitual sin can be a gateway to the devil and putting stuff in your life and on your life. I'm convinced of that. Jesus wouldn't have said it if there wasn't some connection. I know Jesus healed sinners, so you get what I'm saying. That's why I said there's some mysteries about sickness and sin. I don't quite understand all of it, but I do know that Jesus told that dude, don't get involved in sin again, or something worse could happen to you. Come on, somebody. Y'all see that? Amen, 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 amen. All right, so, but the statement that we made here too was that God has made provisions for both sin and sickness on the cross. And let's cover this. Turn over in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 53. Look at verse 1 first, and y'all don't have to change it, but I'll tell you what it says. It says, who has believed our report? And remember what we said here. The key to healing is believing. The key to it is really believing it. And again, please, y'all, don't take shade on this. It's so easy while we're sitting here. I prayed for people that didn't live. And it is heart-wrenching. It can shake you at your core. Yeah. It's painful. It's painful to see, especially a loved one die. And I know that y'all have all experienced that in life, so I'm being very delicate with that. And y'all know we want everybody healed. And we want to use all the, you know, everything that we have. We want to do everything we can. Doctors are in the same business. Good doctors are. Want to get you healed. We want to see you healed. But all the time, we haven't seen that 100% of the time. I don't know of anyone who has other than Jesus. Anybody. You get it? So, again, we don't know it all, and there's mysteries. But, and you know, so, again, don't come up to me after service and say, hey, well, how come if God wants everybody healed, how come Aunt so-and-so died? I don't know why. I honestly don't know. And I've talked to people, and we know people that we just knew they were on their faith, they were believing God, healing doesn't have anything to do with your faithfulness to God. Well, they went to church all the time. Well, if they were relying on them going to church all the time, that's why they didn't make it. That's not what it has to do with. It has to do with you believing this and believing in God as your healer. Amen. That's all I can say about it. And all that we can do is just do what Jesus said. And when we get to heaven, and thank God we're saved, you got it? And your loved one, we pray, and that's one of the first things we do, make sure they're saved, that they believe Jesus, and we know that we're going to see them again. Can you say amen to that? But we live in a fallen earth, and all of us are susceptible in this world. Come on, just look on the news. Well, don't look on the news, but if you do look on it, you'll see this coronavirus. You get it? And again, these kind of things, the Bible talks about these kind of things. We've got to be able to stand and stand on the word. Come on, use common sense and good things too. Amen? You got it? Good chance. I'm hoping none of y'all are trying to go to China right now or whatever that little town is. Amen? Change the schedule if you was going on a cruise to that. Praise the Lord. And that's not fear. That's just, hey, come on, man. Yeah. All right. Just a little wisdom. All right. All right. I made this statement too. When someone doesn't receive, I didn't go to Isaiah. Here we are in Isaiah. Who has believed our report? That's how the whole thing starts out. Isaiah 53 and 52. One verse in 52, I believe it's 14 or 12. It says something to the effect of that Jesus was not recognizable on the cross because he had all sickness, all sin. He was taking the punishment of all our sickness, of all our sin, and all of sickness and sin was in him. On the cross, he was not recognizable as a man, and the Bible says that if you read that in Isaiah 52, and then this whole what verse is it? 14. Thank you. In verse 14, especially if you read it in like the Message Bible, a newer translation, it really breaks it down. It says he couldn't even be looked at. You get it? It's gruesome. He was not recognizable as a human. It says in there. But anyway, this whole chapter describes what Jesus went through at the cross, and this is vitally important for us to believe that Jesus has already paid the price for all of our sickness and all of our sin. And I say sickness and sin, I put them together because we have, it's, in a church like this, it's easy to believe that your sin has been paid for because we teach it all the time. The problem is, oftentimes, sickness is taught as a, you know, as something separate from your sins being forgiven. It's like, that's an add-on. No, that's part of the deal too. This is part of the car. When you get the package, that's a part of it. It would be like getting a car and you get an example, where's the wheels? That's part of the deal. Healing is a part of the package. It's a part of the deal. It's part of the salvation. The same word for healing is also translated salvation, saved. Sozo, it's healing too. And so it all comes together. And so we got to understand that so you know that that's part of the deal. It came with the salvation. Amen? Here it is. Isaiah 53 and verse 3. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. It says, he, talking about Jesus, was despised and rejected, forsaken by men, a man of sorrows and pains, and acquainted with grief and sickness. What? Acquainted with grief and sickness. How was he acquainted? Did y'all ever read where Jesus couldn't go out healing because he was sick? No. What it's talking about is on the cross. Right. Our sickness was imputed to him. Right. And like one whom men hide their faces, he was despised. He was so gruesome, you'll see that in Isaiah 52, verse 14, that you couldn't even look at him. He didn't look like a human. All of AIDS, all of cancer, all of this was all in him. All right? It says, from one whom men hide their faces, despised, and we did not appreciate his worth or have any esteem for him. Surely, verse 4, he has borne whose? Our griefs. What does that mean? Sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses. He bore ours. Vitally important that you understand that. He took on your sicknesses. I'm going to show you another passage. Hey, by the way, Brooke, after this, I'm going to take him to John 12. Yeah, 27. Thank you, baby. Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses. That means stress. He bore yours. And carried our sorrows and pains, a punishment, yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. In other words, when you look at him, leprosy was such a heinous disease back in that day because it would have your limbs falling off. It would, your body would just start deteriorating, right? And it said, you look at him and you thought God had punished him with leprosy. He looked that gruesome, amen? But he was wounded for whose transgressions? Our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement or the punishment needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes, the beatings that wounded him, we are healed. Look at the tense. We are healed and made whole. Isaiah prophesied this before Jesus was even born. Peter in 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes ye were healed. Past tense. Remember, I told you the New Testament's in past tense. And he says, you were healed. Why would he say you were healed? Because of that event that happened at the cross. All provision for healing, Jesus paid for it. How can he do that? He did that. How he did that was because he wasn't just man, he was God and man. Are you with me? And if you'll notice this in the Old Testament, and this is where many people get confused, because if you look in the Old Testament, you'll see that God did put sickness on people. He punished people in the Old Testament. And it's not that God changed. God is still the same, but he punished one person for all of sin. His name is what? Jesus. What? Okay, y'all remember this? We've talked about it before in Numbers 23, that the children of Israel out in the wilderness, they start complaining and murmuring about the manna from heaven. They can't say, I can't stand this manna. I thought it was manna. You thought it was manna, Betty? Yeah, I thought it was manna. I can't stand it. And they was complaining and murmuring, and the Bible says that the Lord sent snakes. And the snakes started biting them and killing them. Remember? And then God told Moses, have them put a... Moses went and started praying for the people. What a great pastor. And he said, go get a staff, put a bronze snake on it, covered in bronze, and hold this staff up, caduceus, y'all know, and the symbol for medicine. Hold it up, and everyone who just simply beholds it will not die. And y'all remember the picture? What was the deal? The deal was bronze always in the Bible represents judgment. judgment. So what the thing was showing is that the curse that was due all the people, the snakes biting them, death coming to them, right? Complaining about Jesus, not recognizing who Jesus is, not appreciating him. John chapter 6, Jesus said, I'm that bread from heaven. They didn't want it. They didn't want to receive it, et cetera, et cetera. Complaining about it. Snakes started biting them and killing them. They're falling dead. What is Moses holds up this staff, starts running. And anybody who looked at it, even though the snake was biting them, wouldn't die. Why was it a bronze snake and not a bronze lamb? Because the judgment's on Jesus. All the curse that was due Jesus of the snake came on him. Are you with me? Judgment to him. All that curse is in him now. It's a snake. They're getting bitten by snakes. But if whoever beholds it, what is the whole thing? It's a typology. It's when we see that Jesus took our punishment and our curse for our sins, the snakes can't kill us. Jesus took our punishment and our curse. That's why we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. When Galatians says that, what it means is you've been redeemed. Breaking the law, he took the punishment for breaking the law. It's like this. If Bobby and Enda paid off your mortgage. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. Wrote you one check, just wrote off the mortgage. If you got a bill that came in for the next month's rent, after they paid it, are you going to pay that? Why? Because it's already been paid for. Here is the case with sickness. Here is the case with sin and punishment. Yours has been paid for. By who? Jesus. Jesus paid it all. That's where they get those. He paid the price. And that's the great exchange at the cross that Isaiah is describing here. Jesus described it too, but let's read on. Then I'm going to go to John so you can see that that's why he went to the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. All right, here we are here. Okay, go to the next one. Verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has made to light or to rest upon him the guilt and iniquity of us all. All of our guilt was put on him. Y'all get it? When our sin went into him, our sickness and punishment and for all sin went into him, because it was just like a lightning rod of all judgment. Sin went into him, judgment from God came into him. Are y'all with me? He was oppressed, yet he was yet when he was afflicted, he was submissive and opened not his mouth. Y'all get that? He kept his mouth shut because he came to take that punishment. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Now again, get the point here. He took your sin, he took your punishment, he took the judgment of it. So just like if somebody paid your mortgage off and you had the receipt of it, are you going to let them demand payment? You're going to go, I'm not taking that. I'm not going to do it. You are going to stand up against that. Isn't that right? And see, if you understand this, this should give you the wherewithal to stand stronger in faith and go, no, he received mine. But if you're not rooted and grounded in these principles and confess these things and fight even the smallest thing, that's where you get practice. Now, we're not deep. I know that, you know, a cold isn't the devil necessarily, but you still have power against it, and I'll show you that in the scripture. All right? Don't wait until, you know, something devastating happens and you go, you know what, I'm going to try. I got to get on my faith. Start now. Start now, every day, and living in that. Secret to your success is hidden where? In your daily routine. In your daily routine. All right. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation, right, the people, who among them considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken to his death for the transgression of us. He was stricken to his death. He died young so we could live long. He died sick so we could live healed. He died in sin so we could live in his righteousness. It's the great exchange at the cross. Y'all with me? He died broke so we could live wealthy in his wealth, right? His people whom the stroke was due. The beating, the punishment was due us, but he took it for us. Say he paid it all. Y'all get it? And they assigned him a grave with who? The wicked. He died. He died as us. For us. That's a good way to put it. He died as us, for us. you don't have to die in sin because he died in sin for you. You died to sin. That's what the Bible says. You died in Christ. The old you is dead. That's what it's talking about. The old you is dead. You're alive now in that resurrected life. Come on, somebody. And they assigned him a grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to bruise him. That word bruise in the Hebrew means crush him. He has put him to grief and made him sick. That's what I wanted you to see. The only place he was sick is at the cross. With whose sickness? All right, so our sickness was imputed to him. So we take his health. His health, we have to receive that by faith. Just like our sin. Whose sin did he die with? Our sin. So we live with his righteousness. Are y'all with me? Great exchange. Yet it was a little put him to grief and made him sick. And when you and he make his life an offering for sin, that's what it was, and he is risen from the dead in the time to come, he shall see his spiritual offspring. Say, that's us. He shall prolong his days, and the will and pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. So what he's saying is, he took all that for us so that we can walk in all of his blessing and prosperity. Amen? All right, y'all get that? No, here, turn over to John chapter 12. Go back to verse 27. Yes, make some noise for Brooke back there at the back. Y'all didn't make enough noise right there. Good. Thank you. Watch this. John chapter 12. Remember what I told you about John chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. This is Jesus' last day, last supper, last time with the disciples before he dies, right? Look what he says here. He says, now my soul, Jesus talking, is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Save me from this hour. What is he talking about? Going to the cross. His flesh is crying out. He's grieved over this. You get it? His flesh is. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. This is why I came. I came for this. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by heard it and said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. This is the verse I want you to see. Circle the word judgment right here. Now is the judgment of this world. What? The world's about to be judged by me going to the cross. What? The world's going to be judged in me. I'm going to be judged for them. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Next. And if I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all. Now look in your Bible, the word peoples. Y'all got a Bible? The word peoples is italicized. Y'all see it? Take it out. Interpreters added that. Look what it says. And I, if I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all to myself. All what? Judgment. Subject is judgment. He's talking about judgment. If I'm lifted up on the cross, just like with Moses, in fact, in John chapter 3, verse 16, 14, or one of the verses right around that, he says, just like Moses when he lifted up the staff, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I think it's verse 14. But he says, just like Moses lifted up the staff in the wilderness is what I'm about to do. That's why I came here. And so that's what he's saying. And if I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all what? Judgment to myself. Now's the judgment of the world, but I'm going to draw it to me. Look at the next verse, please, 33. And then he said, signifying what death he would die. This is why he died. He would die to take the judgment of the world so we could have his peace and his joy. The chastisement due us was put on him so we could have peace. Come on with God. Are y'all with me? And that's why he said on the cross, why have you forsaken me? God forsook him so he wouldn't forsake us. He'd never forsake us. Come on, somebody. I'm teaching y'all good. Amen. So do y'all see that? The price of sin has been paid. And this is why in the New Testament, let me say this. I put this statement up here. When someone doesn't receive healing, it's never God withholding, but it's our not receiving. Now, do I understand every aspect of this? No. I don't, because I've taught it. I've received healing. I can't even tell y'all the number of things I've received healing for. I've told y'all some of it. But you know what I mean? For some other people, I haven't seen every 100% healing in every person that I prayed for. I'm just being straight up honest with you. And I don't know all the innuendos, all the stuff about that. I don't know all the details. Wanting to learn more and more, this is a quest of mine. Come on, you know, I want to know that. Amen. But what I can tell you is, if you do these things, it's worked pretty good for me. Not even colds. I mean, I'll get a sniffle and it may last, you know, a night, then the next morning it's gone. Stuff. I mean, for years, for decades, but I've always believed this. I've learned this. I confess it. I declare when something happens, anything, don't settle for stuff. Don't just settle. Nothing's wrong with medicine. You get what I'm saying? Oh, it's allergy season. Don't settle for that. Understand that God wants you healed. Don't settle for that, because then you'll settle for something else. And the devil would love to kill you with a hangnail. Please believe it. Doesn't matter. He would love to take you out. But so, because he came to steal, kill, and destroy, and it stops our testimony. And the purpose of God is that we be the living billboards here in the earth to spread the kingdom of God. Amen, amen, amen. 17 times in the Gospels. In the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus healed them all. It's listed 17 different times. I'm just going to show you one. I've got several listed here in the notes. But look over at Matthew chapter 4. Y'all with me? Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel. Look at this. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people and his faith. So he went preaching, teaching, and healing. You'll see that same pattern over and over. And what I learned from that, what I gather from that, is that we should teach healing, preach healing, and then lay hands on the sick. There's so much running game that ministers do that I know they'll have to give account of. But y'all see it on TV. Running game to get money because people are desperate for healing. And so I'm going to send you this little cloth. I'm going to send you this sand. I'm going to send you this water. You send me $100. And they get you on their mailing list and you see it. No word, just I'm going to start healing. I should judge some things, and we should judge some things. If they're not, you can just sense some of that stuff is whack. But they're making multiplied millions off the saints. Can y'all say amen right there? It's true nonetheless, even if you don't know it. Amen, amen. That's all I'm going to say about that. All right? Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. They said they brought him everybody. Once they saw it was him, I put down a whole bunch of verses here, and we won't have time to go through all of them, but it says it over and over and over. 47 times recorded in the Gospels, Jesus healed one or two people at a time. And it's just, listen, you see it, it's part of his ministry. He went around teaching, preaching, and healing. That's what he did, and when people would see him, he would be mobbed by people trying to just touch him. I wrote some of those passages in there, where the crowds would come in almost crushing him. And John records in the last words of the book of the Gospel of John. Look at this, John chapter 21. Because there's lots of stuff written in the Gospels, but look what the disciple whom Jesus loved writes in his last words of his gospel. He says, "This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true." He said, "Listen, I'm writing what I've seen. And there are many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." He says, "For what we saw," he said, "I just recorded a little bit and it's true. But if we were to write down everything he did, every book in the world couldn't contain it all." There's much more that Jesus did. What I'm telling you is that we're not walking in all that God has for us. There's much more, and we just have to press in with what we know and stand and stand and stand. Say amen right there. All right, let's jump in a little bit deeper, a little bit deeper. Yes, Pastor, I see that. I wrote down something here. Of course, Jesus healed because he's Jesus. Amen. Y'all don't know the kind of calls and stuff people say to me, but that kind of stuff. Turn over in your Bible to John chapter 14. What's that got to do with you? Here it is. John chapter 14. John chapter 14 again is Jesus at the Last Supper. And it's last time with the disciples, and it's just such passionate writing because and speaking because this is his last time before he goes to the cross, right, with them. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does what? He who what? That's always going to be the point right there. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do. Why? Because I go to my Father. Now, to me, that's Jesus saying this. This is truth. But many believers never experience that because they just think that's nice words. Being a believer is more than just seeing this on a page, showing up at church occasionally when I feel like it. I'm telling you, your life will radically change if you take these words that Jesus says and believe it. Believing it means taking it for yourself and doing it. Good God, Jesus. Lord, let that fall on good ground. Amen. So that you don't settle. You don't settle. All right, watch this. Jump on over in your Bible to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Then I'm going to look at verse 6. Hurry, hurry, hurry. 17. All right. Luke chapter 9. Then he called his 12. Say 12 disciples. Y'all see that? Say disciples. Y'all, this is the key right here. A true believer is a disciple. A disciple is different than one who just gets, who's a convert, who's just saved. Saved, you're on your way to heaven, but most people who are just saved and don't get discipled in the Word, don't make a commitment to the things of God, will have hell the whole way to heaven. They just won't experience these things. They'll live a broke down, tore up life. And that's no shade. That's just reality. They don't know the things that will make them free. Jesus said, if you continue my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's the truth you know that makes you free. Amen? He called his 12 disciples together and gave them what? Power and authority. Dynamis and exousia. Dynamis and exousia over some demons. All demons and to cure diseases. Y'all see that? Jump down to verse 2. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Not just preach, but to heal too. Comes together with it. Y'all get that? So they departed, verse 6, and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. That's the 12 disciples, right? Jump over to the next chapter. When we do this, things grow. Say, I'm called to the ministry. So y'all getting nervous right now, like, oh, snap. Here, this verse is for you. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest is truly great, Lee Stokes version, but the daggone laborers are so few, I can't get anybody to do anything. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church. So true, so true. And people get nervous about that, but it's such a simple thing. Here, let me go on. Watch this. Back up again. I forgot where it was. Yeah. But the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Lord, send us all out. And to, look at verse 9. And to heal the sick there, and to say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. Look at verse 17. These 70, right? They go out. Watch what happens. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. They were shocked. They were surprised. Why? Because they did what he said, and it worked. Are y'all with me? That tells me something. If we just do it, we'd see miracles. Lives would be changed. Y'all get what I'm saying here? I'm so grateful that Kenny Lynch, at my job at 18 years old, was reading his Bible and had the nerve to just say, have you ever heard of this? I was in a place in life where I need to hear it. There's somebody around you, possibly at work, that needs to hear this. And particularly if somebody says something real simple like I'm sick or somebody's sick, he says, can I pray for him? It's such an easy thing. Amen. I know some of the problem is, some people have got such a jacked up reputation already that you're an undercover Christian. They don't know you're saved. So they'd be like, what? Pray for me. Pray what? What you talking about? Pray. Will you pray? It might be shock. Come on, somebody. Some of y'all ain't laughing and mad. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, look at this. I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Dynamis, that word is. Look at this. Underline this in your Bible or take a picture of it so you remember this. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. That verse right there changed my life. Nothing's supposed to hurt you. If something does hurt you, stand up, because he says, I've given you power and authority over all scorpions and serpents and over all the power. Over how much of the power of the enemy? All the power of the enemy. Not some, all the power of the enemy. And what will hurt you? Nothing. Who said that? That's Jesus saying that. I'm just telling you, if this isn't true, he's a liar, and we should throw the Bible out the window and have a big old. We should do something else if the Bible isn't true. It is true. We just have to believe it. So again, that my statement, it's not God that's holding out. It's us that don't do our part or understand fully our part. Are y'all with me? Nevertheless, look what Jesus says. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. He's like, this ain't even the best part. The best part is you're part of my kingdom. You're part of this thing. Come on, somebody. Amen, amen, amen. All right. Okay, I did this in the first service. It'll be the last thing I get to do here too. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. God, there's so much more I want to tell you. There's so much more I want to tell you, and I'll just do it while we're doing the offering. All right? I got 10 minutes here, but that's not long enough. Watch this. But I'm going to let you go anyway. Watch this. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writing here and says, he prays, he has two prayers in Ephesians, but he prays that we would, he doesn't pray that we get anything more. He says, his prayer is, I pray that you know who you are and what you have. That's what his prayer is. Look at it. Here he goes, it's in Ephesians 1, verse 17. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. He says, for I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you more money, a new job, a better marriage. No, may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into the mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. He says, I pray you have a real intimate relationship with him and know who he is. That's what it is. Y'all hear me? This is what salvation is. It's knowing him, having a real relationship with him. Watch this. By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you. He said that you get this real relationship and understanding of who he is so you know the hope to which he's called you, what he's called you to do, who you are. And how rich is his glorious inheritance? Where? In us. That's what this relationship would do. And by his set apart ones. 19. And so that you can know and understand. That's all he's praying. I pray that you know and understand. So that you can know and understand what is the, I love this part, the immeasurable, the unlimited, and surpassing greatness of his dynamis. That's what that word is dunamis. In and for us who do what? Believe. That says that his power is in us who believe. This is what it'll do. If you don't believe, even though you have the power, it doesn't do you any good. All right? In us who believe it, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength. He's going to give us an example of this power that we have. It's the same power he has, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Get the picture. Jesus takes on all of our sin, because this is the example of his power he uses. Jesus takes on all our sin, all of our sickness, goes to the cross. God punishes him with the punishment that's due us. Goes to hell. Raises him from the dead, sinless now. Buried the sin, paid the price of sin. Rises in the newness of life. Remember, Jesus comes out and says, all power and authority has been given to me now. He said that same power that took Jesus full of sin, full of sickness and death, was and died, raised him from the dead. That same power is what's in you. Say, I've got resurrection power. Y'all get this. Far above. Look at, oh, I love this description in the Amplified Bible. This power that he's describing that raised Jesus from the dead is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world that are to come. He says, there is no more power. You've got it all. There's no more authority. You've got the authority over whatever that authority is. There's no more dominion. You've got dominion over that. Come on, do y'all get that? That should make you so excited. Say, I've got his power. Look at this. And he has put all things, everything, ghetto version, under his feet and has appointed him the universal and supreme head of the church. Watch this. A headship exercise where? Throughout the church. That's in all of us. Watch this. He put all things under his feet and pointed hither. Next one, please. Which is his body. That's us. The fullness of him who fills, Lee Stokes version, all of y'all. His power, this power is executed in the body, which is all of us. Y'all get what he's saying? For in that body lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete and who fills everything everywhere with himself. Say, I've got it, all his power. It's available to us who believe. Come on, y'all. Y'all ain't getting stirred up about it. Y'all sleepy. Let's go and get some pizza or something then. Good gracious Jesus. I just preached myself happy right there. Amen. I can't go any further because if I go into James, let's see, 27. No, it's time to go. Did y'all receive that tonight?